analyst from ESPN, Tim Kirkjian. Timmy Bernsey's on vacation in San Diego. Jordan's filling in. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, fellas. How are you guys doing?
I saw you swinging the bat the other day, and I'm not going to lie, man. That swing still looked pretty good.
Well, for 5'4" and a half at 61, and I haven't swung a bat in 10 years, I did the best I could. It was all part of trying to get Josh Harrison engaged with us. He was hilarious. He was so funny. And who better to work with me than someone who's 5'6" and a half? So it turned out really well, and thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
My claim to fame is a couple of years ago, I was at Gonzo's house, Luis Gonzalez, and we were hitting some balls in the cage, me and him, and I was he could get it up to 90, and we were hitting it like at 60, 70, and he said, I'm going to put it on 90. We'll see if he can hit it. I said, okay. So he put the ball in the machine, and I started to swing. I had no idea where the bat was going, but I swung, and somehow – that bat hit that ball at 90 miles an hour and hit a line drive rocket right back at him. I pretended I knew what I was doing, but Timmy, I'm not going to lie. I was swinging before he actually put the ball into the machine.
Well, there's absolutely no way I'm making contact at 90. So God bless you for doing that, whether you were lucky or not.
All right. We got to start with Manny Machado. I've spoken with the Diamondbacks. They have not made an offer. They have discussed names, players that Baltimore likes, and players that Arizona doesn't want to trade. But they have not made an offer, contrary to some reports. The Orioles are in a tough spot here, aren't they? Trading such a great player and not being able to get back much?
Yeah, I think it's beyond tough, Gambo. I think it's desperate. They have to rebuild a barren farm system, which means they have to get absolute maximum value for Manny Machado. And of course, with our young, brilliant GMs today, they know the value of players, and they're not giving up their best young kids because they know the best way to build anything is with your best young kids. And that's why this has been going on for 10 months, because everybody knows everybody's prospects now, sabermetrics, and all the other information has got. You can't fool anybody anymore, but the Orioles are going to wait and wait and wait until a team that is desperate comes along, because Manny Machado can turn a contender into a champion and a mild contender into a really, really good team. That's how good he is if the right move is made.
Is the mistake from the Orioles' perspective not moving him last year when there was more control for a team where they might have been able to get two seasons out of him instead of one? Did they wait too long to move him?
Yeah, I think they did. Now, you have to give them the benefit of the doubt here, though, that they weren't getting offered anything good at the winter meetings. Believe me, I checked. And without getting maximum value, you can't trade your best player. Otherwise, people aren't going to come to the park. The problem is there are 40 games under 500. Nobody's coming to the park anyway. Anyway, they clearly waited too long with him, but the right deal wasn't there, and it still isn't there. But they're going to have to take some sort of deal before July 31st, because otherwise they're just going to get a draft choice for him, and that's just not going to be good enough for a guy with a track record like his.
ESPN MLB analyst Tim Kirkjian joining us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Now to the teams where Machado could possibly land. The Diamondbacks have obviously been rumored to be one of those teams. There also was a bunch of National League teams that joined that list as well. And when you look at the standings, with it being kind of top heavy in the National League, a lot of teams bunched up at the top right now. Is it safe to say that if Manny Machado goes to one of those NL teams, they automatically become the favorite to come out of the National League?
Jordan, I think that's right. I think the National League is so closely bunched now with no great team, but a bunch of teams that are pretty good. He could be the difference maker for the Diamondbacks, for the Brewers, for the Dodgers, maybe for the Cubs. I mean, that's how important he is. And given the position that he plays, I think that only adds to his value. And the Dodgers need a shortstop more than anybody right now, and so do the Brewers. Even more than, say, the Diamondbacks need an infielder right now. So it's a very complicated situation. Plus, we've talked about how much it's going to cost to re-sign him, and are you going to give up two or three really good young players knowing this is just a two-month rental, perhaps.
Yeah, we look at the Diamondbacks farm system and just sometimes don't understand how they can compete with these other teams. I mean, I just don't, you know, unless the offers from the other teams aren't very good, I just don't know how they can compete because their farm system is just not that good. Hey, got to ask you about Bryce Harper. How much money do you think he has cost himself? He's hitting the home runs. He's driving in the runs, but he's batting like .218 this year. I mean, he's not Mike Trout and he's not Manny Machado. Is he costing himself some money on the open market next year?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But and maybe he's going to cost himself $100 million. You know, I'm not sure. But at the same time, he's going to be 25 years old, and he'll be 26 in November or just before November. He's still at the perfect age for a free agent. He is has a great track record. He has a sense of history, meaning he knows exactly where he wants to be, how many home runs he wants to hit, and I think he's still going to be a tremendously valuable free agent player. I just don't know if he's going to get I know he's not going to get $400 million. We're going down from that rapidly. He's still going to get an enormous amount of money, but with a great year and a pennant winning situation for the Nationals, that would have been a whole lot more, and neither one of those seems likely at the moment.
ESPN MLB analyst Tim Kirchen here on the Burns and Gambo show. I want to quickly go back to the Diamondbacks in terms of the trade deadline. Earlier this morning, GM Mike Hazen said that the focus heading into the deadline is going to be on pitching for the Diamondbacks. And with already too many starters for the rotation and a bullpen that seems to be all right, it's kind of a head-scratcher where you would think they would be going more for positional players. As you see the Diamondbacks right now, do you think they have a strong enough pitching staff to make a deep postseason run?
I think they could use another starting pitcher, and everyone could use another bullpen with the way bullpens are used today, especially in October, and that's where the Diamondbacks have to be looking at things. I think they need another position player also. You saw them in May when they scored 77 runs in an entire month, lowest scoring month in the history of the franchise. That can't happen again or anything close to that if they're going to be a playoff team and a good team in October. They really have to swing it better. So, and everybody knows, you know, Patrick Corbin, A.J. Pollock, free agent at the end of the year, Goldschmidt, potentially a free agent after next year, the window's closing there. Not quickly, but they have to look at this year as being, we need to go now. So I think they'll do something. I just don't know if they have, as Gambo said, the people in the minor league system to get whatever they need.
All right, we've talked about, you know, I know Machado's available. He's all the attention to Manny Machado. We know Beltre could be moved. Moustakas could be moved. So there are third basemen out there to get besides Manny Machado. From a pitching perspective, what starting pitcher do you think is the most likely to draw the most attention right now during the trade time?
Well, it's not a great group, fellas. I'm sorry. I just don't see Jacob deGrom or Noah Syndergaard going. And if they don't, to me at least, it looks like a pretty big drop-off to the next level. And that would probably be Jay Happ of Toronto, who's a good pitcher who until five starts ago had been having a really good year. And he's made the All-Star team. So he's a useful guy. He could really help a lot of teams, but I don't think he's a number two starter right now for the Diamondbacks in the playoffs or the Dodgers or, you know, or the Yankees or a lot of other teams. And he might be the best guy available right now. But as we know, at this time of year, fellas, something always happens. Someone becomes available we didn't see coming. So that's still possible. But I don't think it's a great starting pitching market right now.
Tim, I'm fascinated by this. I'd love to hear your answer. You know, the best team I ever saw in my life was the Big Red Machine, you know, that won those back-to-back World Series. They swept the Yankees. They beat the Red Sox in an epic World Series. Sparky Anderson was an innovator. He was the guy that kind of really, you know, brought us the relief pitcher in baseball and really kind of invented that in a different way. I am watching more shifts in baseball than I've ever seen before in my life. I am shocked at the amount of shifts there are. Managers and this analytics in baseball, the third baseman is on the right side against a left-handed hitter 50% of the time, it seems like. Where did this come from? Is there anybody that you can credit these, you know, the shifts to? Because it is really wreaking havoc on a lot of baseball players.
Yeah, I think, well, I kind of know it started with Joe Maddon with the Rays. They were the first team to really shift a lot, and now everybody shifts a lot. And it's a fascinating situation going on. Half the people I talk to, and these are bright baseball people, some former players, some sabermetric guys, think the shift should be outlawed. And the other half says, no, wait a minute, we just have to teach our hitters to be able to go the other way, to drop a bunt, to be able to hit it to a spot where nobody's playing. And yet that's not as easy as it sounds. I'm in favor of let them shift all they want, but when you start to beat the shift enough times, they're going to stop shifting, believe me. But this is here to stay, fellas, and I don't think it should be illegal, but it's going to keep building because the numbers show, the sabermetric and all the other numbers show, this guy hits it here all the time. So we should play somebody there and hurt him. I mean, this has hurt Anthony Rizzo this year. This has really hurt Bryce Harper this year. The shift works in a lot of ways. Now it's up to the hitters to make that adjustment.
All right, Tim, always good catching up with you. We'll be watching you during your next batting practice session. see if you can take one deep, all right?
I'm not taking anyone deep, but thanks for watching.
Kirchin right, is a Tim. Contact hitter.
He's a contact hitter.
He's not a power guy.
Yeah, he's a Brett Butler type. Timmy, always appreciate you coming on. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, guys. See you.
That's Tim Kirchin.